Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Legacy Leaders Radio.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on the air after being on a little bit of a two-week hiatus with Legacy Leader Radio. In the studio today, I have the wonderful Robert Bagley from Mohawk Industries with me today, and I have a wonderful, wonderful co-host and producer with me today. That is Jessica Park. Jessica, do me a favor and just say hello to the gang out there.
Hi, Jack. How are you doing today?
Good. Hey, Jessica, before Robert got here, you and I had a nice, interesting, interactive talk, and I understand something new and exciting took place in your life about 3 months ago. Talk to us.
I had my first baby 3.5 months ago, and she's pretty incredible. She's learning so much every day. It's my first, so I'm pretty blown away by the whole thing.
How does it feel being a new mom?
It feels really good, actually. Uh-huh. I was a bit scared of the whole thing, as any new mom would be. Yeah. But it's been an incredible experience, and she's made it really easy because she's just such a sweet spirit. She's very calm, just like her mother, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you aren't being a mom, I understand you're an event planner. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have my own event planning industry. It's J Park Events is the name of the company.
Okay.
And I've been doing that now for about almost 4 years. Okay.
Well, the reason why I wanted to start off with that, Bob, is and the rest of the people on the radio, is that as I got ready to know, it's always good to know your producer and people that are going to be running the boards and stuff for you. So I asked Jessica a question. I said, what's the most interesting event that you've ever had to plan or be involved in? And I was expecting her just to say, well, this, that, and the other, you know, a corporate event, you know. I said, okay. And then, but she said something that kind of blew me out of the water, and that was...
So I put in my notice at my job of 17 years, and my first gig as J Park Events was catering an afternoon tea and dessert for the Dalai Lama in 2010.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was an aha moment. It was like, well, I've certainly made the right choice here. This is good. And and since then, it's been very very much the same. Just very, it kind of set the tone for the clients that I've been receiving, and the blessings that have come my way.
That's
have
good.
Been.
Well,
great.
Thank you. And Jessica, we're honored to have you as the as my producer and co-host for today, and it's great. Robert.
Welcome to
I'm
me.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad.
Me too.
Yeah, how was the write-up?
Oh, it was great. I work in Calhoun, so there's nothing close to Calhoun. Okay. But I'm really happy to be here, Jack and Jessica, so thank you.
Well, let me just tell you a little about me you heard about Jessica, and tell you what I do at Legacy Leader Radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a caveat and give you a little bit of a disclaimer right up front, and that is when I'm not doing the radio show, I'm on the road, I do a lot of work with Franklin Covey.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good
so I'm stuff. Actually one of the, yeah, I'm actually one of their presenters and facilitators, and I absolutely just love it. And so my passion, and besides that, I love doing the radio show because I get to bring on great guests such as yourself. We talk about great success stories, things, how people have lives have changed with Franklin Covey.
Totally.
Yeah. And we've had, I've had Mark Josie on, Doug Pusey's been on. And,
Franklin Covey rock stars.
Yeah, the rock stars, yeah. Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. And actually, their interview we did a couple weeks ago just got picked up by 1190 Radio. So they're going to rebroadcast Doug and Mark again, Josie. Yeah,
they're the
heavy hitters here in the Alpharetta area. So I know they're probably listening today, and their ears are perked up wherever they're at. So, Robert, it's an honor and it's a pleasure to have you here.
Likewise.
And tell us a little bit about yourself,
okay,
what industry you're in, and then we're going to get right on into some 4D stuff.
Oh, wonderful. My mm-hmm. favorite. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so, well, I come from the carpet and flooring industry. I've been in that industry since I started my own carpet cleaning business back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I built that thing up to a point where it was a sellable business. and systemized everything, and just learned what entrepreneurs should learn and mm-hmm. trying to do that, and made it a saleable business. And then at that point in my life, it made a lot of sense to go. I was being solicited by some of the manufacturers, so I worked for Mohawk, I worked for DuPont, I worked for Shaw for 10 years, and I'm back at Mohawk now.
Okay.
So all in sales training, field sales, and then mm-hmm. I moved into field sales management, and now sales training is my real passion in helping develop salespeople into becoming outstanding performers.
Okay. When when did you realize that there was a need for the 4D? And then,
and just
for our listeners out there, 4D in our terms and our acronyms is considered the four disciplines of execution.
Sure.
And if you don't mind me, and I'm sure I want to give a plug here for brother Chris McChesney here.
And Jim Hewlett.
And Jim Hewlett.
Don't forget Jim now.
And Sean, most definitely Sean.
And Sean,
is
sure.
One of the greatest books that any company, any organization could ever adopt, bring into, or adapt into their company is I believe, number one would be The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People for the individuals, and then for mm-hmm. the group as a whole.
Sure.
Achieving wildly important goals is The Four Disciplines of Execution, written mm-hmm. by Chris McChesney, Sean Covey, and Jim Ewing.
Right.
And it talks a lot about the things that get in the way of what's important to your team or organization,
yes.
to focusing on the things that are really, really important to achieve goals. And they talk about something called a whirlwind.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Love to talk about the whirlwind. It's if I could back up, because you did
sure.
ask me another question. It's kind of how did we get started in this at
sure.
Mohawk, which is a very legitimate question based mm-hmm. on what we're talking about today. And I had been working with Doug Pusey on the Five Choices project at Mohawk and executing that. And I'll tell you, it made such a difference in my life and impacted my life so much. And one of my colleagues that was a trainer, one day in the midst of my getting deeper and deeper into Five Choices, slapped that book, The Four mm-hmm. Disciplines of Execution, mm-hmm. on my desk and said, "You ought to read that." And I took that book and I just said, "Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I'll get to it when I get a chance." Well, I gave it to my boss, actually, and he started reading it before I ever read it. And then one day, he had an issue, and he came to me with that issue, and it was around executing an initiative that wasn't doing mm-hmm. very well. And in the meantime, I was starting to dig into four disciplines of execution. So I said, in that morning, he said, "Robert, in a couple hours, we're going to go into a meeting and figure out how we're going to deal with this." So I quickly dialed Doug Pusey and I said, mm-hmm. "What are you doing right now?" And he's like, "Well, I'm in a meeting at a big client, but what do you need?" I said, "I think you need to come here in the next 2 hours."
Ooh.
And he stepped out and dropped everything he was doing.
That's Doug.
Walked into that meeting with me, and I didn't announce that I was bringing a consultant into the meeting, right? So this was a big risk. And, the rest is history. We've adopted it with 350 sales folks around the world now. We have, over 50 teams, 60 teams probably by now, doing WIG sessions every week. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was positioned to do the super coach part of that, because every organization has to have a super coach. And I was a super coach. And so it was a lot of fun. I traveled the country kind of rolling that thing out and making sure that it got set up and started. And so the whirlwind is an intriguing topic, because the whirlwind really is everything that needs to happen in a person's life day to day, business wise and in their life, mm-hmm. that if you don't do those things, they're very critical. So a lot of people put the whirlwind in this sort of a negative spin, but it's life support. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all the things. It's the customer. Look, it's all the things that keep the lights on. If you don't have customers calling and going, "I need your help, and I need this, and I need that," then you don't have a job,
right,
or
right.
a business.
Right.
And so the whirlwind, we hear it all the time, again, is this sort of a negative thing, but it is life support, and it is very important part of our day-to-day life, mm-hmm. both personally and professionally. But it's diametrically opposed to the wildly important goal. Because see because the wildly important goal is that is, and a lot of people argue about, well, geez, what is the most important thing we should be working on as an organization? Mm-hmm. And so you can get five people in the room and one will go, oh, it's top line or it's margin or it's the closing ratio of our salespeople. And, you know, and so I'm dealing in the context of a sales force.
That makes my brain hurt, by the way. But yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, be careful what you ask me because I'm just going to fire away.
No, go. So, that's good.
So, you know, I work in a sales environment, and I'll tell you what, the whirlwind loves to win in a sales environment, right? And so without the wildly important goal keeping us focused on a few things each week that we're going to give a treatment to, right? It's a subset of our normal goals, but we're saying we're going to, if we do this, that we got to find that gap, that execution gap.
Yep.
That's where I was going, where we're all going to argue about what's the biggest, you know, issue, but what's the biggest gap that if we fill, we can nail that goal, right?
Right.
And so the wildly important goal and the whirlwind really are forces against each other, but the whirlwind is a formidable opponent, undefeated in most organizations. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not to be underestimated. And many organizational goals and initiatives have died at the hands of the whirlwind. Okay.
If I can rephrase, if people get caught up in the whirlwind and forget what the big picture is.
Absolutely. Sure. Because, you know, it's the emails and the voicemails and the texts.
I got to do these. I got to get those. I got to get those. I got to get those. But why are we here?
Exactly. Okay. And so if you don't, and it kind of goes back to the five choices, if you don't put big rocks in your calendar and you don't, carve out that time and get very jealous with that time,
yeah,
it ain't going to happen. So it's all about discipline, and it's not the four good ideas of execution. It's the four disciplines, and it's all about discipline. And these are principles. These aren't just practices and good ideas.
Right.
These are principles. Yeah, you know, you can ignore them like the book says. You can walk away and just pretend they don't exist, but they do. Yeah. And you need to address them.
And they will always come back to haunt you in a way. And it may look different, it may be addressed differently, but it's still going to be the same.
And I'll tell you, you know, if I'm a sales manager or a sales representative or a business owner like Jessica, And myself, I've owned businesses, and I have a part-time business now that I'm running too. And so in my spare time, but you know,
what's that?
Big rocks.
It's called nights and weekends, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, if we don't spend time focusing on those wildly important goals, we will just keep running the whirlwind and we'll only get 70 to 80% of the way. Cause if you just work the whirlwind, especially if you're a salesperson, if you just run the play, I mean, just the whirlwind play I'm talking about, and go the extra mile and carving out time to work on wildly important goals, you'll still get 70 to 80% of the way there. But eventually that's going to catch up to you because no organization is not going to want you to stay stagnant. Or backslide.
Mediocre.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How, tell me about some of the challenges when you said, when you made that call to Doug Pusey, and you said, hey, and I know Doug.
Remember that day, Doug?
I know Doug. In fact, he was sitting in the exact seat you're sitting in right now, and he's a wonderful, wonderful animated, and he's got a lot of energy guy.
Oh, he does, yeah. And he does some intense whiteboarding, too, if you ever check that out. You should just hang with him in his office. His whole office is whiteboard.
Is it the whole wall?
It's a whole wall, yeah.
So Doug shows up. You do this, and you get from Franklin Covey, and he's going to talk to you about the 4D, the four disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go from there to where it was actually? Did you feed? What kind of resistance did you get? Any resistance?
A little bit, sure. You know, my boss and I were kind of on the same page with it at the time, and the person that also was a stakeholder that it was very hesitant and wasn't sure about it, but came along eventually, and you know, and Doug in his typical way, he is a consultant, you know, and he's only wanting to do the best for his clients, and that's what I love about him and Franklin Covey, and so, you know, it took a few baby steps, but I'll tell you what, it became an avalanche, and then when Richard came out. Garrison,
okay.
You know, and met with our executive team. It was all over, but the shouting, they were all in. So that's pretty cool.
How many people would you say are actually executing the 4D right now at Mohawk?
You know, we struggle with that question on a daily basis.
Okay.
Just like any initiative, you got to watch it. You got to have executive sponsorship, and you've got to have management, you know, behind it, especially for the field people, right?
So how important is it? Let's talk a little bit about leadership in 4D because, you know, I believe.
Hand in hand.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Took the words right out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. How important for our listeners out there, people in corporate, people in private industry, people in entrepreneurs out there, is it to have a buy-in from leadership to be able to implement something, the five choices or the 4D or mm-hmm. even seven habits? How important is it to have leadership buy-in?
Mm-hmm. Without leadership buy-in, it dies.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Bottom line. You don't have a program without leadership backing mm-hmm. and buy-in. Now, I believe in the Pareto rule, that 80-20 rule, right? So currently we probably have 20% of our leaders on fire for 4DX, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you got about 30% that are just playing because they got to.
Right.
That's not proper radio language, is it? But it makes the point. The mm-hmm. point is, and so then you've got that other not yet people that you're always going to have.
Yeah.
That you're trying to pull in and show them, if they don't see the value in it, they aren't going to play. Yeah. That's why Discipline 3 with the compelling scoreboard is so important. It's got to be their game, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it's got to be their game. You got to make it their game. And so they're the ones that have to have the buy-in on the lead measures, and they got to put, you know, their best thinking in on what those commitments are going to be every week. So that's a big point, was keeping that going. Yeah. So as a trainer, I'm constantly, you know, being the subject matter expert on how to take good commitments and make them great.
What do you find the biggest resistance in those that don't want to get on board, so to speak? I'm here's the path I'm going down. Sometimes it's a professional thing, and sometimes it could be a personal thing that I don't want to play along because I don't have to or whatever. What do you find is the biggest challenge? A reason why I'm asking is I have a hidden agenda on that because getting to them and getting them past that is can be tough.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think they see it as more whirlwind, you know.
Okay,
here's the flavor of the month, and of course now we've been at it more than a year, and so it's not flavor of the month, although it's had its peaks and valleys of intensity, I must say. And recently, Jim Hewling's come on board and helped us with our management team, and I'll tell you, really lit a fire under them. Is doing some monthly calls. I'll tell you what, if you want to get your leadership on the board, have Jim, put together a nice coaching package for those leaders, and you'll watch and have him come speak to him, because he, just like all the other wonderful people at Franklin Covey, is a mystifying individual that just captivates everybody and gets him so fired up about 4DX. Because I'll tell you what, the 4DX a meter was very low until we were at a valley, and then Jim came in and it was like, So having the report outs from the leadership, having some people from Covey coming around and embracing and girding up this thing every once in a while is what's needed. It's part of the recipe of success.
Okay. On the 4D, you talk about accountability.
Yeah. It's all about accountability, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to choke up there for a second.
It's all about
accountability.
It.
Sometimes, doggone it, I don't want people holding me accountable for anything. I just want you to leave me the heck alone.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think Chris McChesney feels that way sometimes too. I've gotten to know him over the years.
Yeah, so. Chris. Yeah. Yeah. And
they dog him on his commitments all the time.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Sorry, Chris, but I know
he's probably listening
he's getting
now,
a chuckle
so.
Out of it, yeah.
But when we talk about accountability, and I do coaching, and I have clients and stuff, and I ask them, I said, okay, how do you want me to hold you accountable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hold you accountable. I'll call you once a week. I'll say hi in the hallway. Or do you want me to be on you every day?
Hmm.
How does the accountability work with 4D and say Mohawk?
Well, it has a built-in accountability, you know, element to it, in that every week, you know, you have to have a report out session, which we call a WIG session, which is nothing more than, hey, here's the one or two things I felt was really important to drive the number, drive the lead measure, drive the lag measure. And, here's the things I said I was going to do. I either did them or I didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Hopefully they did them, because if they didn't, that's a delicate conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, here's the one or two things I'm going to do next week. there's a lot of power in that. And yeah. that built-in accountability is because they're the ones saying, I'm going to do this.
Right.
You know, so it's, I mean, yeah, we're all holding each other accountable, but at the end of the day, you're the one who picked the commitments. We call them WICs, wildly important commitments.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people get it.
I'm digging that, yeah.
Because they'll go, yeah. Here's my wig for the week. Well, no, that's not a wig. It's mm-hmm. a commitment. So we rephrased it and called them WICs. And they're the ones picking the WICs. It's their game. And they're the ones that have to lay their head on the pillow at night and go, did I do it or didn't I? And why didn't I? Yeah. And how is that going to impact my professional career? Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's that simple. So if the game is played right, you know, yeah. then the accountability is built in.
And they're not always monetary accountability. It could be getting a tasking done or.
In a sales force, it's a very good question. And I tell you, in the sales force, it's very rarely a monetary. It's actually small behaviors that they're working on that are influenceable and predictive, right? Because they said, we bet if we do these behaviors, right, that we can move the lag measure, which, of course, if we move the lag measure, moves the wig or the lag. Mm-hmm. Right. So the commitment is sort of the lead measure is how do we move the wig?
Yeah.
And the commitment is how do we do the how? Yeah. So it's just kind of drilling down. The commitments are just drilling down one level deeper than the lead measure, because you've got to have something moving the lead measure every week.
Keep it moving. Keep
and they're behavioral type things such as I am going to so the lead measure would be something like, I'm going to have 1 to 2 face-to-face meetings with an end user that I'm, you know, targeting, you know. And so the commitments could be anything to prepare for a great meeting to happen.
Sure.
Or anything to follow up from a great meeting that happened.
Okay. And those go up to get displayed and then held accountable.
Yeah. We use the my40x.com.
Okay. That's very powerful. Very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. if a company doesn't use 4DX or not familiar with 4 Disciplines of Execution.
Right.
How would you be able to recognize, say you go to a customer or say you meet somebody on a plane and all of a sudden you start hearing their language, they're talking. How the heck would you get them into the 4DX? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, it's a great question. So I was doing the rollout. Can I tell a quick anecdotal story?
Of course.
Thanks, Jack. Mm-hmm. Thank you for appeasing me. I appreciate that. You're a great host. A good host is one that helps people just talk on, right? Is that the definition?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So. And then if I lose it, I just look over at Jessica.
Yeah. Stop this guy. So I was in the midst, this was about a year ago, I was in the midst of rolling out 4DX to our team, and I was flying from New York City back here, and I got bumped up, a lovely Delta bumped me up to first class. Mm-hmm. And so I sat next to a gentleman that I just started up a conversation with him, and he was interviewing for a CEO position. Yeah, pretty cool. And so we just started talking. He says, what are you doing? And I told him, I said, I'm, and I had, I think he'd seen the book from a colleague of mine that was sitting nearby. And I said, I was rolling this out to our sales force, this 4 Disciplines of Execution. He said, oh, really? Tell me about that. I mean, to become an evangelist of 4DX is very easy, because we know that if they're not doing it, they have pain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Especially someone that's about to be a CEO. You know, he came from being a CEO, had a nice severance. They let him go, whatever. And now he got, you know, and then months later he got the job. We didn't even know, but we kept in touch. And so I still meet with this gentleman from time to time. And he actually came to listen to Chris McChesney speak. So he's getting close to being on board. He's got to figure out some things internationally, but.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's how that happens, right? Yeah, I mean, it just happens organically, because you know you have a solution for those that are in pain, that are trying to drive behaviors to hit a goal.
I was sitting there talking to Mark Josie a couple weeks ago.
Great guy. Love Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, and I was actually just finished a trip with him. We're back on next week as well, but... He showed me a graph, and he drew. Actually, he sat here and drew out a graph. It's 20-60-20, mm-hmm. and it was at 20% of the organizations that just don't get it and don't care.
Yeah,
that 60 in the middle.
Yeah,
that they're just kind of happy being.
They're the not yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, not yet. And then that 20 on the right hand side.
The models.
They are rocking and rolling.
They're the models.
Yeah, they're the Mohawks, the Chick-fil-A's, the Delta Airlines, the
sure.
great, you know, the Marriott's, the Costco's. And they get it. They know how powerful. It's almost addicting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they go, we want more, we want more, we want more. How can we make our people better?
Totally.
Yeah. And so
I'm addicted. I can't stop.
Yeah. So, clearly.
Yeah. Thank you. I was wondering when clearly. Jessica was going to come in. Come
no, trust me. Trust me. You pull the trigger. Jessica's going to say something.
You think Mark and Doug would let me see her talking to you right now if they didn't know I was dyed in the wool 40X? Come on.
It's all good. It's all good. And so... If you were standing up in front of a group of 1,000 CEOs and corporate people, how would you get just half of that 60 in the middle just to get them to slide over to the right? Because what was interesting is that I deal mostly with people and cultures.
Sure.
And I see that same 20-60-20 just when people, let alone a corporation as Mohawk or another major or Fortune 500 company, and you just want to get those people, you say, look, you can – sit here on this far 20% on the left-hand side
right.
and wallow in your own stuff. You can be in that 60 in the middle and just sleepwalk through life.
That's right.
Or you can be that 20 on the other side that makes radical changes in life and changes other people's lives and gives back in service to others.
Absolutely.
And so if you can give me some nuggets on how you get that half of that 60 over to that 20 on the right-hand side, because if you just get that momentum to start to move, You may start to create a vacuum where people go, yeah, I'm digging this. How am I going to do this?
Absolutely.
What would you say?
Well, you know, it depends on what their exposure to Covey is, first of all, and to the concepts of the four disciplines of execution. If they have not even heard of it before,
yeah.
One of the things I love to do is put audiobooks in people's hands.
Okay.
I started an audiobook program at Mohawk because our sales force, you know, they've got this windshield time. Some of them drive 2 hours just to get to the first appointment. You know, they'll leave early enough to be there at 8 a.m, but... You know, I made this program because I said, and I've coined the term, take that downtime and windshield time and turn it into personal and professional development time.
Yeah.
And so actually, I listened to the book because remember, I gave mine away to my boss. And so I got the audio book and I just started playing it over and over and over. And it just became part of me and in the language and getting the lingo down. And of course, when you teach it, you become, you know, the subject matter expert. You just, if you want to learn something quick, teach it, right? And you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would say to any of those folks that, you know, you're even thinking about 4DX, you know, go to audibles.com. You can get one free book just to sign up. And if you cancel it within 30 days, it costs you nothing. Get 4DX, okay? Read the four listen to the four disciplines if you're strapped for time. Some people love to read, so get the book. And you know, I've got a website where I promote books, and so people, my friends, they'll go on. I interviewed Chris and did a podcast, and I tell you, if you don't listen to that and that doesn't light your fire, and of course he can make that available to you, and I can make that available to anybody as well.
Great.
You know, to just hear Chris's passion, you know, just flow through the audio, and he's got one where he does live that I think comes with the book. You're in. That's, I mean, so, you know, do your due diligence. If you feel like this is something you want to take a look at because you know you need to move the needle in your organization, you need to change behaviors and change lives, like you said, it's a life-changing experience, personally and professionally. Why personally? Because you get your professional house in order, and it helps you personally.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, totally. Yeah. I mean, Richard Garrison has tons of anecdotes where he's used this on his grandchildren and his children and, you know, his family. So, you know, it's not just, it's principles. It's human nature, principles of changing behavior. And it's ugly and it's messy, and this helps bring order to it.
Yeah. And that's great wrap up on that. I appreciate that. I love the book, and
well, so does everybody else, because I watch rankings on books, and I've actually I observe this. This thing flies off of Amazon's shelves. I'm just telling you right now. I think it's been in the top five business books, and it continues to soar off the shelves. So
it might only be a couple other books that maybe beat that. Franklin Covey, I think, of course, you know, Seven Habits.
Sure, the new one to the 25th anniversary.
In fact, I just did a networking event with Mark Josie the other day in Lexington, Kentucky, on the The new 4.0, Seven Habits 4.0. Have you seen it at all? Or
I'm not. No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
my next. We'll square
you
away. There you go.
Yeah. We'll square you away on that one. It's just shameless plug here. All new videos, 34 new videos.
Ooh, yeah. I heard they went around the world.
They
and
went
shot these
all
videos.
Over the place.
I mean, this is, as always, top notch from Franklin County.
Very much.
But this sounds like it's way over the top.
It is.
Which
it is
really cool.
It's fantastic. The videos are awesome. It's very, it crosses so many cultures, so many generations. And it's, you know, if you remember Masterpiece, the 80th birthday, they've redone those, Green and Clean, and what's the Big Rocks with Elizabeth.
Big Rocks.
Yeah. And
End in Mind.
Yeah. End in Mind is there. And one of the things I like and I have to sometimes turn away is whenever they show the 80th birthday.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah, because I lost my dad, you know, about a year and a half ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And so whenever I see that, I think, you know, okay, the spirit's there, you know, and so God, you know, it's important because if you see the end in mind, if you know how it's going to be, then why don't we do something about ourselves and our lives right now to make it a great 80th birthday?
Yeah.
So that would lead me into the next thing, and I see you have your five choices card there with you.
And, yes, I do. Yeah. I don't leave home without it.
The five choices.
Is that weird?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, that's one of my area of expertise, the five choices. Would you be so kind as for our guests that are listening what the five choices are?
Absolutely. So the five choices are the really they're five choices to extraordinary productivity, which I believe Franklin Covey is just known for, is mm-hmm. helping people be more productive. And the five choices is great because it's personal and professional productivity. And so the five choices, the first one is to act on the important, don't react to the urgent. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, look mm-hmm. at what we're inundated with, yeah. like no other generation in history. The good news is we got information at our fingertips and now on our eyelids, soon to be in our brains implanted. The bad news is, how do you deal with all that?
Mm-hmm. We're inundated with the technology and everything's coming at you 100 miles an hour.
Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so choice two is go for the extraordinary. Don't settle for the ordinary. So it's really about how you define purposeful, high impact outcomes that'll transform the results you get in work and in life. And then choice three is schedule the big rocks. And I think I alluded to that because that's where it's a hand in glove fit with the four disciplines of execution, because those wildly important goals that the folks are making every week are exactly those. They're the big rocks. You put them in your calendar and the sand and the gravel can't touch them. Mm-hmm. And then choice five is rule your technology. Don't let it rule you, which is, excuse me, choice mm-hmm. four. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's seven, four, five. Yes. It can trip you up. So mm-hmm. Choice four is rule your technology. Really close to number one on acting on the important, because I think technology is probably the biggest distractor of our focus nowadays. Anyone disagree in this room?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, Jessica
no.
agrees. Yeah. Mm-mm. It's mm-hmm. tough. It really, really is. And now, and the more these things do, these iPhones that I'm lifting up in my hand and iPads and all those gadgets, the more those do, the more disruptive they are in our lives. So don't let it rule you. So we teach a lot of tips around that. And then five, which I love is fuel your fire, don't burn out, you know. And that's, I'll tell you, with the fact that you can be checking emails wee into the night, working on surfing the web, you know, working your day job and then doing that, and then Lord forbid you start an internet business like I have, it's tough, really, really tough. Mm-hmm. So you've got to, you know, our bodies were made. That's why we have weekly wig sessions. That's why a lot of people go to church on Sundays. You need that downtime. You need that rest.
Yes.
And you need to carve out a good 24 hours where you just say, not going to touch it.
Yeah.
And of course, daily, you need to be watching what you eat. You need to be watching how much you sleep. Mm-hmm. And all those things come into play with fuel your fire. Moving, exercising, obviously don't have to even say that. But those are really key things on keeping your fire lit instead of extinguished.
Yeah, very good. I love that. And I can only just imagine what the culture, the dynamics would be are at Mohawk here you go. You got 4D. And then you not only do you do 4D, it takes care of the corporation, the company, the bottom line, the people, but also with the people as well, you bring in the five choices.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that program. And,
We put it on hyper mode after we did the full day.
Talk to me. What do you mean?
We not only we did with the five choices full day class, we then coupled it with one-on-one coaching for 5 weeks going over a choice a week.
Oh, that
and
is
so
awesome.
I literally coached 83 people through that program one-on-one as we did it last year.
Excellent,
We had to put it on hiatus to get this rolling out.
Yeah.
Which is 4DX, and we're about ready to revisit reinstituting the five choices. So I don't know that we'll do the extreme one-on-one coaching, but I had a team of coaches taking care of this with me, and we all had five, six, seven, upwards of eight people a week we were coaching. And I'll tell you what, you want to make a program stick, do one-on-one coaching, and it can have a lot more stickiness to it. So, but we're testing, you know, doing some like webinars and things because it can quickly be a 1 or 2 day event. And as we know, training is not an event; it's an ever going process, ongoing process. So you can't. We're tweaking, taking the five choices out, you know, for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks, and then having some follow up webinars on some of the nuggets that are in there. Some great topics in there.
Acting on the important. We get wrapped up in the whirlwind of things that are happening, and when I present to audiences and I speak, the people, what's important to one person maybe not important to another person,
right?
But they start getting, it's like a hamster in a cage. They're going 100 miles an hour. And they go, boy. Look at Jack. Sure is going fast. Looking good. Don't know what the heck he's doing, but man, he sure is going fast. And then we got to stop. We got to pause. Okay. What is really important that helps me with Mohawk, you know? And that's very, very important. Very important.
What we do is as part of the class is we define our roles and our goals. Right. Because to your point, we could be just running down a trail, you know, running on a treadmill. You never get anywhere. That's what I love about. And I keep going back to 4D.
That's cool.
Because the wildly important goal, it's focus on the wildly important. But in it, it's X to Y by when. So what do I mean by that? It means it has a starting line. It has a finish line and it has a deadline. It has three lines. And we talked in terms of X to Y by when, just like the, you know, the moonshot when Kennedy said we're going to get a man on the moon and back again by the end of the decade. I mean, that really drew a line in the sand with NASA. Up till then, it was kind of nebulous. No one could really figure out what we're going to lead the world in space exploration, I think was Eisenhower's, you know, motto with that. And of course, Russia beat us to the punch. But so I love that example. And so there's a lot of antidotes around that. But the key is that having a goal and not too many goals. That's the key here is what are the one or two goals you're going to work on professionally and what are the one or two goals you're going to work on personally? Because above that, you just don't have the capability and the bandwidth. We're human beings. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know we all think we're robots now because we kind of have them almost attached to us. And again, soon they will be in our heads. And that's coming quickly, by the way.
Did I miss the memo?
You missed the memo. I mean, you're going to literally gonna be able to click your tongue and surf the web because there'll be a chip inside of you that's going to, and you'll be literally be able, your screen will be your eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. No.
I mean, I was in San Diego and saw the Google glasses, but that's just step one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. They're working on quickly, rapidly putting technology in us. As opposed to outside of us. So imagine the distraction that's going to cause. Yeah.
And I have difficulty with people talking on airplanes right now when you're, you get on the airplane, ladies and gentlemen, the cabin door is now closed. your cell phone must be placed in the airplane mode, and then you got somebody behind you.
Sure.
Well, our flight's delayed right now. Well, I don't know what's going on, but they're yelling at me to turn off my phone. I really don't. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Can you imagine a chip? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, folks. I was on a roll.
That was a nice trail. It was a great trail, but it's worth talking about, you know, because especially if we're talking about focusing on the while important, fueling your fire, ruling your technology, don't letting it rule you. I mean, then after that, you're going to have robots. I mean, my Siri on my iPhone is almost a robot now. If you use Siri right. It set up an appointment for me. It's like my personal secretary, and I use Siri a lot more than most people do.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was married until one night I was talking to Siri, and she tells me where to go, what to do, where I'm supposed to be, and if you ask her to, she'll tell you what you're supposed to wear and all that crazy stuff. So I go, you know what? There she is right there. There's Siri, you know. There's Siri. Yeah,
and
she'll tell you.
And you'll never upset her.
You never upset her. Yeah, that's true. And I'll never get divorced. Just change my phone.
There you go. And she comes with the new one.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You know, many corporate initiatives have died at the hands of the whirlwind. I'm just going to take us back to 4D.
Yeah, because, sure, no problem.
Because it's huge in an organization that has lots of new things and new initiatives. And in fact, if you don't, you probably aren't going to be in business long, right? Because you need to be innovating. You need to be putting out new things and new trying and testing new things, which means you're going to need to execute that.
Yeah.
You know, all the strategy in the world is never going to see something come to fruition until you get your people behind it, executing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we did is we layer. So what I love about 4DX is it keeps this foundation so that any initiative that the corporation now wants to layer on that, bam, they just plug it into the operating system. That's what 4DX is. It's an operating system. And so, okay, we want to pull out this new product and roll this out. Okay, that's the software. Put it in the operating system. Roll with it. What are we going to do? What are the behaviors that are going to make it happen? Right? And so that's the beauty of 4DX. Now, the other thing that we brought in was Jeff Stott from Helping Clients Succeed.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, and so Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play is the book by Mahan Khalsa. Awesome book, by the way. Mm-hmm. Another Franklin Covey. I watched that book flies off the shelf as well. And that's all about solution-based selling. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about today and have been talking about is sales, but that's where the biggest pain is in most organizations because of the fact that the whirlwind loves to win in a sales organization because people can chalk up all their activities during the day saying I'm making sales, but at the end of the day they're exhausted and they're not really sure they ran that hamster wheel. They're not really sure what they got done.
Sure.
And so Helping Clients Succeed is great because now we're talking about, okay, call planning and call execution from a sales standpoint. And so now you layer that and plug that into the operating system of 4DX. Now you don't get to put a point on the board till you have an end in mind on the meeting, till you have an actual call plan. And so see what you can keep doing with this is building upon it. Now you've got a foundation so strong that when the winds of adversity fly, that nothing's going to move it.
Oh, because you have a strong foundation.
Strong
roots.
Right. It's not going to blow it down. Okay. You know, and again, and so Helping Clients Succeed, another Franklin Covey program that we've embraced with our strategic accounts folks, and it's really helping us to really dig into what's important for our clients, because our clients and us as salespeople want the same thing, and that is that they want a solution that exactly meets their needs.
Of course.
And it's hard because most salespeople, most entrepreneurs, most people, all they want to do is go and just go talk about blah, 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 their benefits and all the things that they. And so it's really, again, you got to change the behavior. And so the 4DX helps change their behavior and go, okay, I'm going to be very focused on finding out what the client needs. We're going to do some really good world-class discovery, and we're going to just find out more and more about them before we ever even talk about our solution. Oh, what an idea. What a great idea, right? Yeah. You know, really finding out what the customer needs. And so 4DX actually helps put those kind of programs into what I call autopilot.
I like that. And it goes back to a video I saw of Dr. Covey, late Dr. Covey, and he says, what does a rookie do? A rookie sells your product. A professional sells you a solution.
That's right.
He's going to sell you a solution. And I love that quote, and it always sticks in my mind whenever I present one of those classes. Choice two, go for the extraordinary.
Go for the extraordinary.
Yeah, and if you remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen the video or seen the class, it's the screen, it's an ant. Yeah. There's four ants, and then there's one ant that's got the big strawberry.
Yeah.
And then there's four little ants behind him with the crumbs.
Yeah, but they're the guy, like little pieces of cheese.
Yeah,
little cheese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the guy in the front has got the big strawberry. So the metaphor behind that is, why show up mediocre, go for the extraordinary? Well, go for the extraordinary. And it's very interesting, some of the reactions I get from people. I said, what do you think of that slide up there? And then some people say, well, those he's showing off. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very victim. Some people have very victim language. So, but I'm a firm believer. Always going for the extraordinary. Go one mile longer. I've been reading your bio. I've been reading about Mohawk Industries. Tell me how Mohawk has gone for the extraordinary.
Well, they're progressive in their thinking and they're innovative in their thinking. So they're not afraid to test some things. And case in point, about 8 years ago, and maybe it's 10 now. I don't know exactly, but we went to DuPont and said, let's put together a fiber and maybe DuPont. I don't know how the initial talks happened, but we introduced a fiber that nobody else did. And no one had introduced anything new in nylon carpet fiber in 5 decades. Okay.
Wow.
And so Mohawk really has an orientation for innovation. And we turned that from 0 to 1 billion in less than 7 years.
Oh.
With that one franchise called Smart Strand.
Smart
it's
Strand.
It's a soft, okay. soft fiber, softer than anything else out there. Durable, which you don't usually equate soft and durable together, yeah. but it's durable, stain resistance. And, oh, by the way, it has a sustainability story because 37% of it is corn-based as opposed to oil-based.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so, you know, just people embraced it, you know, and so that's where Mohawk is always looking and we'll have like, we'll have the executives sit at tables and do shark tanks for our R&D people to come and do, and our R&D people will come up and they'll go
watch that.
And they'll pitch what they feel like the company needs to do and new ideas. And then at the end of this thing, and I happen to be a partaker of that, they'll throw money at them from the company and go, okay, there's your 15,000, there's your 100,000, there's the, go work on it. I mean, how many organizations are doing that?
I don't know, other than the fact that I just heard about Mohawk and then I see it on TV, but I don't know that I didn't know that that's how the process goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I really like about Mohawk is that they are thinking out of the box, and I know that's a cliche now, but, you know, when it comes to me personally, as you said, you read my bio, I was watching a video of Jeff Bezos, the starter of Amazon.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've been more and more fascinated by the Amazon story because it is becoming so much more of a part of everybody's life. I mean, Jessica, Jack, have you ordered mm-hmm. anything on Amazon the last couple weeks?
Yeah, everything.
Okay. Good for you.
For the baby,
yeah.
It's been,
for the baby? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Awesome. It's easy. See? Yeah, it's easy. Mm-hmm. Push the easy button. And he said something that was just provocative and really life-changing for me in this past week. This happened Monday. I watched the video Monday night because I'm constantly starving for more and more. Mm-hmm. I'm always feeding my soul and my mind with new stuff.
I'm feeding the fire.
And he said something that just blew me away. When he borrowed $300,000 from his dad, which was more than half of his dad's retirement, and his dad didn't even know what a computer was at the time, he started the company. And he had a very successful job. He was an executive at like a financial firm or something. And he said to his wife, I'm all about regret minimization. I see the internet in the early 90s as the place to go. And if I don't do this with my parents' money, and he told his parents, there's a 70% chance I'll never pay you this money back. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's going for the extraordinary. Well, yeah. That's all about regret minimization.
Oh.
I don't want to look back. Like you started out today at 80 years old or whatever that is at the end of my life and go, oh, I wished I would have borrowed $300,000 from my dad and started selling books out of my garage.
Wow.
And that's what he did. That's he started it, yeah. by selling books. And then that's how I've started. Mm-hmm. I go out on library sales and I buy books and I started by, and now I'm into retail arbitrage and I do that with my kids nights and weekends. And I don't know where it's going, but that's what it's all about.
Are you following your passion here?
I guess I don't really slow down Talk enough to even, I don't even slow down enough to figure out if I'm following my passion because I see something like 40X,
yeah.
and I see and I grasp onto something like helping clients succeed and the 5 choices and the 7 habits, and I hear people like Steven Jobs and Jeff Bezos who, they're human beings just like you and I. They're not super yeah. human beings. They've just figured out a few things. And Steven Jobs said, "We're going to do a few things really well." I mean, do you think Apple's a lack of good ideas coming at them? And he said, "No, we're going to get this little phone perfect." Okay. Now, yeah. now I'm not out for perfection because I think done is better than perfect sometimes, because a lot of times it's the analysis of paralysis sets in and we yeah. don't get anything
oh,
done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's a fine line between that. But when you have billions of dollars back in you, I guess you could make it as mm-hmm. perfect, right? So my passion is really helping people excel at what they're doing so that they can achieve their wildly important goals. And I'm starting a little spreecast on Thursday nights that I'm going to be bringing in speakers. And so I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, we saw that and I appreciate that. Let us know how we can help you and support that with the other spreecast.
You bet I will.
Yeah. And just let you know that we've got, as we are doing the show here, we're having live tweets being brought in. I've got a good friend of mine, John Thatcher, and I've also Jessica's been putting them out there. And we've got people cool. out there, so I haven't seen them all, mm-hmm. but I know there are people out there that are doing tweets and retweets as we do the show. We're not done yet. We got a few more minutes, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about your personal mission and. I'm looking at your bio, and one of the things that you wrote in your bio and you sent to me was creating a Q2 culture.
Yes.
Okay. For our listeners, it's one of our quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And tell me what a Q2 culture looks like. You go ahead. You just lead. I can do it.
I like where you're going. Why don't you explain Q2?
Yeah, Q2, and Franklin Covey, we believe in creating a culture and creating a language, a common language amongst teams and groups and people. So when you come into work, if I see Robert, I go, Robert says, "Hey, Jack, where are you heading to?" And I look at him and go, "I got a Q3 going on." And he automatically knows it's probably something as a distraction to me or probably a deception, what I think is somebody else's madness. We call a Q1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s. A Q1 culture is something that's urgent and important. Urgent and important. It's stuff that comes at you hot, fast, and heavy, like a baseball bat upside the head.
The whirlwind.
Yeah. It comes at you, and you can't. It's like driving down Interstate 85 here in Atlanta at rush hour and getting a flat tire. Can't ignore it. Can't ignore it. Can't let it go away. Can't rationalize it. Man, you got to do something about that sucker
sure,
right now.
Sure.
That's what we call a Q1. Let's go down to 3. A 3 is usually something that is urgent, but it's not important.
That's right.
Urgent, but not important. And it's usually urgent to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of like I equate it to like going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to the beach, enjoy the moment of the beach, enjoy the sun, the waves and everything. But you get back in your car and you still got sand in your shorts or in your shoe. And you go, man, that really takes away from the bloom of from the emotion of enjoying the beach. That's called deception or distraction. Then you got the 4, which is going to be the stuff that's urgent. You know, it's not urgent.
It ain't important.
It ain't urgent. It ain't important. It's what we call waste or distraction.
Excessive surfing behavior. On the net, excessive anything, excessive fill in the blank, gaming, excessive TV
yeah.
watching.
Drugs, alcohol, heaven forbid, yeah. that sort of thing. So we call it Q4. Now the cool stuff to be and where we want to live our life is where it's not urgent and it's important.
Yeah.
Not urgent and it's important. And that is what we call a Q2, quadrant 2. And those are things that are feed us that,
yeah.
like, if you want to take it from there, you're more than welcome to.
Well, sure. I mean, to me, those are your wildly important commitments. Those are your wildly important goals. And those are the behaviors and activities that you need to be engaged in order to hit the WIG or the wildly yeah. important goal. And so, again, the translation of the terminology here is very seamless. And so Q2 culture certainly is, hey, my door's open, but when it's closed, that means I probably just need to be, you know, hunkering down on my project. So, that, you know, those are the kind of things. I mean, yeah, we'd love to have an open door policy, but, it, you know, if you're going to get anything done, especially if you're in a cubicle, you know, it's, I mean, you got to almost like put a sign up that goes, I can't talk right now, you know, so, you know, making sure other people understand that you've got to get a job done. You've got to work on your wildly important goals. And you know what? I'll call you on the way home.
Good point.
Or we'll work during lunch. I'll buy you lunch. I mean, how many dollars I've spent buying people lunch just because that was when I could do it. And I'll buy them lunch because I don't want to inconvenience them. But we can kill a few things there and not step into some of those wildly important things that we need to be working on Q2-wise.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Robert, we talk, the theme here is legacy leaders, people who make a difference in the community, not only locally in your company, especially Mohawk Industries, but around the world. And leadership is very important. It's something I'm very, very passionate about, spreading what it means to be a positive, good role model and a good leader in the community and organization. And that's one of my passions in life, is spreading that word. In your own words, and tell the audience what it means in your own words, your own view, your own paradigm of what a great or an extraordinary leader looks like.
Well, a few adjectives come to mind. They're selfless, mm-hmm. you know. They're passionate, mm-hmm. they're engaged, and they're present in the moment. So, 'cause you can't be effective at home if you're distracted by work, and likewise, you can't be effective at work if you're distracted by home. And so, you know, the key, I think, in this world of information, going back to rule your technology, don't let it rule you, is really be in the moment. And a good leader is a good listener. And a good leader is somebody that says, I'm going to do this, and they do it. And if they fail, because they will, they get back up again and brush off the dust, apologize, and do their best. And so a leader is willing to die for their people, literally. And I think that's what they have to have, that mentality. So, you know, figuratively, I should say, they're willing to, you know, hey, if George, you're not going to be able to meet your commitment that you made on 40X, what can I do to clear the path for you?
Beautiful.
That's a great leader.
Beautiful.
You know what? Let me get a machete and just clear that path because I can help you. But by golly, don't miss your commitment. Reach out to me ahead of time and go, hey, Robert, I think I'm going to fail on this commitment I made. Mm-hmm. What can I do to help you to make that work? That's a good leader.
Yeah.
And being present, you know, being in the moment. You know, I had my boss yesterday call. He goes, hey, you want to hang out for a couple minutes? I needed to. I hadn't seen him in a while. He'd been globetrotting because he handles international. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time to be a good leader. You know, it just takes focused time and being present in the moment for your people. Because a leader has to have people following them. If they don't have people following them, there's probably something wrong with their leadership skills that they need to work on if they want to be a leader. You just can't raise your hand and go, hey, I'm a leader. It has to be earned through integrity and through honesty and doing what you say you're going to do. Very simple. I wish I had a more profound answer than that.
But. Oh, no, you did spot on. I love it. Absolutely love it. I appreciate that. Robert, tell us how we can get a hold of you. You've got a lot of projects. You've got a lot of irons in the fire. How do we get a hold of you, Robert?
Well, my pet project outside of Mohawk is bobsbestbooks.com. That's www.bobsbestbooks.com. I'm also going to be doing a spreecast, which we'll put on that website. In the Mohawk world, you can go to themohawkgroup.com and see our products. And if you're looking for any kind of flooring commercially, it's themohawkgroup.com. So all one word, themohawkgroup.com, or I think we're now mohawkgroup.com, which he keep changing it, but you'll find it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, those are probably the easiest. Twitter at Robert Bagley. LinkedIn, I don't even know that address.
We'll find you. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, Four Disciplines Execution and how it correlates and how it's been brought into Mohawk Industries. Our wonderful, wonderful guest has been Robert Bagley. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to sign out of here, and I want to say thank you very much for my guest producer today. And I think I may have her back because, ladies and gentlemen, we may have a studio
full of She's phenomenal.
She's really good. She's so quiet, but she says a lot with her eyes. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're probably going to have a studio full of teenagers next week.
Awesome.
And so I'm going to ask Jessica to be my co-host officially on the radio here as we want to find out what the names are, what's on the mind of a teenager. So if you want to dial in and get
scary.
On that, it's going to be a fun show.
That'll be fun, yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, all of you in Tucson, Arizona, out in Gainesville, Florida, those of you new people know who I'm talking about. I love you all. Thank you for your love and support. Thank you, Robert, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Franklin Covey, thank you all for the support. Okay, guys, we are out of here.